This is Rebecca Turley interviewing Carl Abbott and his wife Mildred at their residence in Oxford, Alabama. Today is April 3rd, 1995. The subjects of this interview concern Mr. Abbott's service in the Navy during World War II and an aside by his wife Mildred concerning the activities taking place on the home front. Mr. Abbott was born the son of Maudie King Abbott and Charlie Abbott in a little town in Walker County, Alabama, called Empire on March 4, 1922. He lived there until he was 20 years old, and at this time he enlisted in the Navy. Hey, just tell me a little bit about yourself, where you were born, and just lead on from there.
Well, I was born on a farm close to Empire, Alabama, March 4th, 1922. I lived in that area for about 17 and a half years old. Went to work in the coal mines. In the maintenance crew. Worked up there. World War II started here in about the Pearl Harbor way. Or something like that. That's where I wound up going to Pearl Harbor. On the demolition street. He sat there and he told me to take a destroyer. So I went on the destroyer. My first assignment was at Rock Mountain. And we was there 3 days and we got sunk. Kind of a short trip. Put us on the island and we stayed there 18 days. Got them without shade. Wondered where we were going from there. So we went to Esperanza Sanders, way back up in the mountains. Dam up a creek to swim in. All we had to do was play ball between the knees. We did that for about 3 weeks. So, all of that, but we do it. And some of us back to space for 30 day leave. And it's going to be some that would have to stay there and take a new assignment. There's some new destroyers out from the States that didn't have certain people on them that they needed. So this guy got up in the back of the truck. And these first names I call out will be reassigned here. And the rest of them will be going back to space on Thursday evening. Guess whose name is first?
What went through your mind when you were
over there? You know, I thought about out there by myself that there's about 8 more that stayed good. So they carried me over there and put me on a brand new destroyer, USS Warren. One more man went with me from the Canyon War to the sun. And one enlisted man, one officer beside me. So I stayed on this for the end of the war. He joined Arthur Burke's squadron, which he was chief of naval operations under Eisenhower. I've got a letter from him a year or so back. Look, I've been in the frame. The destroyer that I last when I was on the one at Waller, it won 12 battle stars.
Now, what exactly is a battle star?
That's a major battle.
Mm-hmm.
That destroyer was decommissioned after World War II and recommissioned in the Korean War. That ship stayed in that war. It was decommissioned again and recommissioned in that Vietnam War. It stayed in this war. Then the crew that I was with on could have bought that ship for a dollar. And he talked about it and decided that the Poland fee would bring it down any further on battleship part. It had been so high it was in the port. So first all it asked me if I'd go spend some time on it to bring it down, and I told him I'd work a month. Have a reunion every other year. All over the United States. But there's not many of us left. And see, these other crews that served on that destroyer, they started coming down to the union because of the water. And there's more of them than there are of us, and so I just quit going. I didn't go to life. So there's a lot younger than us, many of us left. When he called me, his wife called me a while back. He was real sick, he's a little older than me. He wanted to talk to me, and he never did talk to me, he was trapped.
You said you remember some of your battles. You mind talking about
them? Well, we went in Villa Harbor one night, about the first or second of 4 destroyers were supposed to go in the harbor. We threw them out to the business in Columbia to stay outside, about 8 miles away. And it was raining real hard that night. Went in there and the ship I was on had my berth on it. The larger ship wouldn't go in that close to the shallow water. So we went in there and made a big circle, got 10 tall feet, raining a little bit, and they wasn't expecting to be in there before the place plumb up. When we killed about 13,000 people that night, Tokyo and Old Florida sat a few days later. Now that was propaganda. They didn't like that. So we didn't like the bomb in Pearl Harbor either. But really, that crew was, they wanted to win a war. A lot of time and a lot of business we were afraid of. We went up the slot, there was a sign to go up the slot, there's 4 destroyers in each group. And just travel through them islands because they was putting the barges, the Japanese were putting fresh soldiers behind our four out soldiers, you know. And that's what our assignment was. Another thing that was interesting to me later on, we had that show on about Boynton, back to Boynton, back there, Black Sheep Squadron. Now that was the same bunch that would relieve us of the morning to keep these barges from going from 1 hour to the wooden barge. We had a random battle. We'd ram these things at night on the saw. We'd get up about 30 to 35 knots and hit those barges and cut them half into it. And that happened a whole lot. Then they'd send the Tokyo Express down for that problem. And then we'd have to tangle with that. So we had broke their code about the time or a little after I got sunk, and we knew where they was the whole time. And it was solid night. And that place was called Solomon Slot. It was Guadalcanal in Georgia. Right on up the slot, two in the air, and then to open Villa La Villa. Treasure Island, Chelsea Island, come up to Bougainville. Bougainville was the most northern island in the Salt Island group. And that's about 600 to 700 miles wide. People talk about the Pacific Ocean being big. It is big. A lot of water. After that, I stayed down there about 18 months in Solomon's Rock. And we come up to Pearl Harbor and got resituated. He retired. And then we took off. We didn't know where we was going until after we got on the way. To Saipan. Invaded Saipan and assaulted the crew in Saipan. After the troops got on there real good, while we stood by and helped them back the gaps up where we could, shooting out over the shoulder. It was 5 inch 38. That's in diameter, shell weighed 50 pounds. And from there we went to Guam. So it's the same way. And then we come back to Tinian, which is right outside there. That's where the Noah Gate went over to drop the Thomas Dunn. Of course, we've done got some salting up job on Okinawa and Iwo Jima. Well, Iwo Jima and Okinawa. I found out while I go there, I lost good sleep.
Paul felt like he was unable to go on because of certain memories, so we decided to interview his wife also. They met 2 years after he was in service, and I thought she could give some helpful information. Okay, you can tell how you met and when you got married.
I was 13 and he was 14. He came up to live with his cousin, and I lived near his cousin, so some of my girlfriends and I were walking home from school and saw him in this corn crib. And we'd been anticipating him coming. We knew that a boy was supposed to come there and live. And we were all interested. When we saw him in the corn crib through the door shucking corn with his cousin, I told the other girls, I said, well, he's mine. not knowing that he would be someday. We were just cutting up, you know, and having fun. But anyway, we weren't old enough to date, but we'd be together at parties and things, you know, walk home from church maybe together or something. And then he left. He said that about a year and a half and left and came back when he was 16 and stayed another year. And then we did date some then, and then he went back to Empire, Alabama, and we didn't see each other very often then. And then after he had been in service a couple of years, well, we got married.
How did you feel when he came home and asked you to marry
him? I don't remember. I guess it was exciting. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to express your feelings in a...
Yeah.
But I knew it was going to be a big change in my life. And then I got $50 a month allotment from him, from his pay, and kept it. I never did spend any of it. I had it all when he came home. Then when he got home, he spent it.